Let's open with hymn number 140.
Thank you.
Responsibly, Psalm 116, found on page 148. Psalm 116. I love the Lord
because he hath heard my voice and my supplications,
because he hath inclined his ear unto me.
Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live.
The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me.
I found trouble and sorrow.
Then called I upon the name of the Lord.
O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul.
Gracious is the Lord and righteous.
Yea, our God is merciful.
The Lord preserveth the simple.
I was brought low, and he helped me.
Return unto thy rest, O my soul.
For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee.
For thou hast delivered my soul from death,
mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling.
I will walk before the Lord
in the land of the living.
I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted.
I said in my haste, all men are liars.
What shall I render unto the Lord
for all his benefits toward me?
I will take the cup of salvation
and call upon the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows unto the Lord now
in the presence of all his people.
Precious in the sight of the Lord
is the death of his saints.
O Lord, truly I am thy servant.
I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds.
I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving
and will call upon the name of the Lord.
I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people.
In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our first lesson this evening is found in the 8th chapter of Romans, the 9th through the 17th verse. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Here ends our first lesson.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to thee, Lord.
We hear now the first reading of the Passion history, the preparation of the Passover lamb. And it was near the feast of unleavened bread, which is called Passover. And Jesus said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to be crucified." Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled together in the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted that they might take Jesus by trickery and kill him, for they feared the people. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people." Now when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him, having an alabaster flask of very costly, fragrant oil. And she broke the flask and poured it on his head as he sat at the table. When his disciples saw this, they were indignant, saying, "To what purpose is this waste? For this fragrant oil could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and when you wish, you may do good to them. But me you do not always have. She has done what she could, for in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." And Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. And he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And he said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" When they heard it, they were glad. And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought an opportunity to betray him in the absence of the multitude. Now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, on which the Passover must be killed, the disciples came to Jesus and said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent Peter and John and said, "Go into the city. Behold, when you enter, a man will meet you who is carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The master says to you, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house. Where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large, furnished upper room. There make ready." They went and found it as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And in the evening he came and sat at the table with the 12 apostles and said to them, "With desire, I have desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you that I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes on the day when I will drink again with you in my Father's kingdom." And while they ate in the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And they all drank from it. Now before the feast of the Passover, which is on the same evening, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. He rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dried them with the towel with which he had girded himself. Then he came to Simon Peter. And Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, then you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, He who is bathed need only wash his feet, for he is already completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you, for he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, and taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet. You also ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. For most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I speak not concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it comes to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. Here ends the first reading of the Passion History.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to thee, Lord.
We sing hymn 151. redeemed in Christ Jesus, tonight we begin a vigil where we shall follow Jesus. It is good to follow Jesus, but it is not always easy. The way chosen by the Father for His Son to tread is not a happy road. It is the darkest road ever walked by any man in all of time and space. It is a road which is covered in thorns and nails, trembling earth and terrible hues of night where the sun refuses to shine. Cast your eyes upon it, and there is but one man who walks that path. None else would dare. No one else could. He looks back from time to time, and He gazes upon us to see if we are still watching and praying. Sometimes we fall asleep. Sometimes we turn our faces away. Oh, that it could be some other path, some other way. But that matter is beyond our control. It is fixed deeply in the hidden things which the Father in heaven has ordained. For this is the way of grace where Christ must walk alone, so that all we can do is believe and by faith be saved. As it is only by faith that we can have life, it is only by this way that the Father has sent His Son to walk. Therefore, we follow Jesus on the way of suffering, the Via Dolorosa, that is far more than a street in Jerusalem, because it travels from the heights of heaven to the depths of hell and back again. Along the way, we will stop and cast our eyes upon various signposts and objects which we may find there, and they will serve as the historical markers along the way, recording what has taken place so that we might never forget. First, along the road, we come upon a briar patch and a crown of thorns. For the right bird, it might make the beginnings of a nest, a defensive wall in which to protect its young. But no bird or beast takes shelter here, for this circle of thorns is a crown for a king. For what is a king without a crown? And so looking at that crown, the scriptures unfold and we are taken to the praetorium of Pontius Pilate. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. A crown for a king. What bitter irony there is in the mockery which Pilate's soldiers make of Jesus. They heard the charges which the priests were bandying about, and perhaps some of them overheard Jesus' own words when Pilate questioned him. And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." Like sharks smelling blood in the water, the soldiers surrounded Jesus to have their fun with him. He thinks he's a king. Why, let us give to him a robe and a crown and a scepter. And so they twisted the branches of a thorn bush together, and they fashioned him a crown and pressed it upon his brow. They treated him as if he were truly out of his head, like someone in an insane asylum claiming to be Napoleon. And so they mocked him. But as is their way, they did so with as much cruelty as they could muster, at least as much as they could do without incurring Pilate's wrath. Had they believed Jesus' own words, they would have bowed down before him, even in his bruised and beaten condition. For he is indeed a king. The most glorious king they would ever know. His kingdom embraces all that men know in this world and all that they see in the heavens. And beyond what the eye can see, it extends to every realm of existence so that even the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. But what of that glory now shows in Jesus? Perhaps in the dignity of his eyes, but even a beggar can have dignity. Certainly not in his earthly attire, or wealth, or friends, or retinue. Knowing only what sinful men know, anyone who would claim that this Jesus is king, who has all power in heaven and earth as his birthright, would indeed be laughed to scorn. As the King of Glory, they could not know him. For how could they see the glory before which even the seraph angels in heaven cover their faces? For there is no glory here on display unless one looks with the eyes of faith and sees the glory of Jesus manifested in his humiliation and his suffering. But the third part of his threefold kingdom was on display on that day in fine measure. It was his kingdom of grace, which, as he told Pilate, he ruled not from without, but it was within the hearts of all who believed on him. Here the King of Grace found his place on the battlefield, where he would win his crown. If there is any kingdom for which a crown of thorns is a fitting diadem, it is Jesus' kingdom of grace. The royal garment of this king was not the scarlet robe in which the soldiers had dressed him, but the blood which even now began to drip down from his brow. For now, as Jesus takes on the depths of suffering, he goes forth to war, not with an army at his side, or with a sword and shield, or any implement of war which men knew then or now, but with more powerful weaponry still, with his body and with his blood. With those alone he will battle the forces of sin, death, and hell. Enemies which would render the mocking soldiers, were they ever to face such an enemy, blubbering idiots who cowered in fear. But Jesus endured this pain, and he did not attempt to shrug off this crown as it was pressed down upon his head, biting into his flesh and adding to his suffering. This was his coronation, the preparation for his battle, the first step along the way to the place where the war for salvation would be fought and won. This was his destiny, a fate which his flesh indeed dreaded, yet an end which he embraced with all his heart, for it was the Father's will. It was the only way for him to fulfill his purpose, for he was Christ, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. To refuse this crown was to turn away from this road and abandon all of us to eternal death. And therefore, though it meant great shame and agony, he took his crown for the joy that would follow, for our own redemption. With this physical crown upon his brow, a greater crown also weighed down upon him, one so much greater than the torment caused by the thorns as to render that pain merely an irritation. Also upon his head was laid the iniquity of us all. Like his crown of thorns, he bore our sins willingly, though the bite of them was painful, so painful that any normal man would have instantly gone insane. For the pain of this crown did not consist in any torment which the thorns caused to his flesh, but rather were the sorrows of death and the pains of hell. These would continue to build until the Son of God would cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me? For those are the true wages of sin that must be paid. Wages that mean to be forsaken by the Father. In taking his crown of thorns, this was the death that he was embracing. And how nobly indeed he bore it. He showed himself a king indeed as he silently endured their taunting, their pain, and the dread of the cross so that we would not perish. What was he doing there? As he told his disciples on the night he washed their feet, what I do now you do not know, but you shall know after this. What none of those mocking soldiers could know, the beloved disciples of Jesus would learn well much later, that this was the way which God himself had ordained, that his Son would take our place and that we might be saved. And as he has come to take our place, he engaged in a great exchange indeed. For he took all our sin upon himself and gave us his righteousness in its place. He took the punishments of all our sins, which he did not deserve. And he gave to us eternal life, which we did not deserve. And he took upon himself a crown of thorns, so that he might give to us a crown of life. Dear friends, as we continue along the way of sorrows, do not shrink from remembering the sorrows which your own sins brought upon our Lord. The daily sins which we commit, our stray angry thoughts, or our great and brazen offenses against his commandments, are more than just the pinpricks which pierced his brow, but are the great wounds which he endured in his very soul. The end of them was death, even as it would have been for us if he had not come to take our place. In taking the crown of thorns, he took all that it implied from you. Since so much time has passed and the fruits of salvation have been secured for you, it would be so easy to forget the cost. Do not think that it is as nothing to add to the offenses which you have up until now already committed, simply because they've already been endured by our Lord, lest you too would be like one of those soldiers who callously pressed down a crown of thorns upon our Savior's brow and laughed, oblivious to his suffering. No, rather, let your sins be with Jesus as he was crucified. Let them be crucified every day more and more, putting to death the old man which Christ has slain with him upon the cross. And as he was not ashamed to carry them, do not be ashamed to confess your sins unto him who has already paid their cost. And as you mortify the deeds of your body, putting them to death, arise every day a new creature, walking not according to the lusts of the flesh, but according to the very crown of life and glory, which is yours through him. God grant it unto you. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing hymn 155.
Thank you.
Let my prayers be set forth before thee as incense.
And the lifting up of my hands in mercy be sacrificed.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Faithful Savior, who of thine infinite love didst condescend to walk the way of the cross and to atone for the sin of all mankind. We beseech thee, give us grace to remember always in true faith that what thou hast done for us. Give us also willingness and strength to follow thee upon the way that leads through the thorns of suffering and griefs to eternal happiness, and be our guide through the dark valley of the shadow of death. Lord, have mercy upon us, who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto my servants that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness. Through the merits of Jesus Christ our Savior, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.